I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte, and you're with Stan, Roe, and Raf on the SGP podcast. Woo!
Are you ready? Marks and Smarks. This is the Smarky Las Filipinas podcast.
All right, what's good, y'all? You're listening to the longest-running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast in the world.
2 weeks in a row! He gets that in one take.
The SGP podcast, y'all.
We're getting good at this.
I'm getting good at this.
Hey.
This is Ravishing Roe Moran, I have to say that. And this is Rowdy Raf Camus right in front of me. And I have to say all of that because sitting beside us, the convalescing, stunning Stan C.,
Who does not have a voice,
but is manning the mixer board today for this week's episode because...
We got a special guest.
Yeah, we have a special guest, and we have to make sure that Camus does not fuck this one up again. So this week's episode of the SGP Podcast, we have a special guest for you tonight. We'll talk about him a little later on, but first, before anything else, WWE has found a new home in the Philippines.
TV5 has officially signed WWE.
Hold on a minute.
Why? What else are we going to build up to?
No. I just want to make sure because according to spin.ph's article about this, parang hindi pa siya sure na sure. What they're saying is, they said, according to their report, we all saw the tweet that TV5 sent out.
Na, yes, WWE, April 30.
April 30 daw. Hashtag WWE sa TV5. But then the spin.ph article says Fox has kept mum about what they're going to do in the Philippines. WWE has kept mum about what they're going to do in the Philippines because they put out a 90-minute broadcast of Raw
on YouTube
exclusively for Filipino viewers. As in, it is country-locked.
It is geo-locked.
So I don't know what's up with that.
It's confusing.
By the way, coincidentally, is also the day Backlash is supposed to air. But that's April 30 here. And that would be April 29 in the States. When WWE finally appears back on local programming. By the way, we don't have to explain again why Fox is no longer broadcasting the WWE.
We've talked about this.
Yeah, we've talked about this with Nicole. And people still don't listen to the podcast, so they don't know. They don't know shit. But yeah.
They don't want none.
So we don't know what's going to be up with that. We don't know if they're going to be showing all the shows.
We don't know what the broadcast program schedule is like.
None of us know anything.
We're in the dark. So stop asking Stan on Twitter.
Stop asking Stan on Twitter. Jesus Christ. He does not know anything.
He's not the spokesperson for WWE. He is an advocate.
He doesn't work for Fox. I don't work for Fox. None of the other wrestling gods work for Fox.
None of the wrestlers work for Fox.
You're going to have to ask Coach Chut.
I'm going to try the next time I see him.
What? When do you see Coach Chut?
I saw his wife today.
What is that supposed to mean?
He's at the hotel often.
What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
You see his wife in the hotel?
Him and his wife.
What?
She has business. She has business affairs at the hotel.
Apparently, I learned this from a friend in the media.
In the media world.
Yeah, Coach Chut. I am in the media. Stan is in the media. You are sometimes in the media.
I work with the media.
Yeah, that's true. Coach Chut is not the guy to be asking these questions.
Because he does not...
No, he is in charge, but, you know, he delegates.
Yes.
Now that.
Unlike some people.
Yeah, someone else apparently does that. So, we don't know at all. What is the most likely scenario for WWE's TV5? First of all, we have to make this clear. Apparently, they are not dubbing all of that in Filipino. Because, for one thing, that's too much work.
Yes.
That is way too much work for broadcasting, especially if you're broadcasting any show live or anything close to live.
Because you would have to retrain all of these guys to just be able to get this off the ground. And how many people, you know, can actually bring any semblance of legitimacy apart from people
I feel like I'm sitting next to. No, I feel like if you have to dub it in Filipino, it's going to take a long time before you see the actual episode.
So that's like a 3-week delay from live.
Yeah.
Which coincides with the WWE Network releases.
No, still almost. Though, come on. In this day and age, in 2017, do you seriously still want to be watching WWE shows in tape delay?
No.
Exactly.
Why would you on demand.
Yes, exactly. So if you are to dub anything in Filipino, it's going to take a while. You're going to have to transcribe everything, translate it properly, and then make sure, you know, all the voice talents do it right. By the way, if this ever happens, can Renzo Magnaye be a dubber for WWE Filipino?
I haven't heard
Renzo.
Well, Renzo, are you still available for this?
Well, he's a dubber.
No, I know he's a dubber, but
his Tagalog sucks. But so what? He's reading from his Stan says his Tagalog sucks, but it doesn't matter. You're reading from a script.
It does.
Okay, fine.
Renzo, it's okay.
It's apparently hard for him to read if it's Tagalog sucks, but it doesn't matter.
Renzo's voice. Yeah. You know what it does to Ro.
Yeah. But apparently he can't speak Tagalog, so I mean his Tagalog sucks, so too bad, I guess. Renzo, you failed us. You failed the city.
You could have been.
Could have been the one. I trusted you. You were like a brother to me.
Stop. Right. Stop. Let's not take the high road.
All right.
So we do not have the high ground in this situation.
That's true. That's true. I'm really sad though about Fox.
I liked what Fox had going.
To be fair, this all happened this week. We didn't know about it. We, meaning the wrestling house, we didn't know about it until I think it was Monday, right? It was Monday, and I was still pretty much, you know, releasing press releases on the internet on Sunday night or the weekend before, saying we don't know what's going on. Fox Sports is still trying to get it, and apparently it turned out by then, wala talaga. And that is the sad truth, but I will tell you that for those who are saying that Fox turned heel, no, they were trying until the very end to get you what you wanted. But
to the 11th hour.
Yeah, apparently.
It happens, guys. It's business. You have to understand it from a business standpoint that these things take money. We've said it ad nauseum.
Taking Cam with his dumb question as to how TV5 got the rights so quickly. As I said in that thread, for those of you who are not in the SGP Facebook group, there was, you know, the bidding war, or the bidding between all the networks, among all the networks for WWE rights, was going on way before y'all even heard that WWE was not going to be on Fox anymore. So yeah, it maybe happened that TV5 won the bidding a while back, and then WWE was just saying no to Fox and whatever offer they had. So that's how, I suppose, it turned out so quickly.
Actually, insider sources.
No, ngayon may insider source ka na.
ABS-CBN lang.
Just now.
ABS-CBN lang. No, it was after the fact. Could confirm that they were approached for WWE and didn't take it seriously. Just because their prior history, ABS, that they couldn't. Number one, they didn't want to take on the burden that is WWE programming in its entirety. And number two, even with the dedicated sports channel that is Sports in Action, I don't think that they considered it enough, considering that you have to get, what, 5 hours minimum?
Sure.
Close to.
Well, not even. You don't have to get the whole thing, kasi. Like, what? I guess, yeah.
5 hours
Fox
minimum.
Fox got 6 hours.
6 hours.
Plus PPVs.
That's why. So,
all right.
At the bare minimum, 5 hours, and then you're not giving everyone what they want,
right?
And the expectations, and then the burden of the marketing arm that you have to execute on free TV, does get tricky.
Knowing what we know today, though, I think the fact that ABS could not pay Sky Cable, but who could have paid? Sky Cable can't pay Solar. Yes, for NBA. All right, my bad. So
back
yeah,
and forth.
Yeah, so there you go.
The last time
ABS had WWE, they had superstars and pay-per-views, which were somewhat censored and abridged. So it wasn't that great, I guess.
It wasn't a good situation. And
it wasn't a good deal.
It wasn't a good deal, and considering that this all sort of fell apart, when was this? At around once in a lifetime WrestleMania.
No, it wasn't. Before pa.
Yeah,
it fell apart then. Right, I wasn't paying attention then.
Well, that's the part, that's the time that it sort of fell off with ABS-CBN's programming. And then the downward spiral into...
How could it fall? How could it not fall off when they were showing Superstars? Right?
Exactly.
And Main Event, I think.
And they had, on Studio 23, right before the reformat, they had Tough Enough. Old seasons of Tough Enough.
Right.
Which was, you know...
Really?
Do,
the,
yeah.
The Stone Cold?
The Stone Cold one. Yeah. And it's hard for us to comprehend because... The fuck, man? Does nobody want WWE in the current landscape... of what media in the Philippines? Does nobody want to take the well?
Nobody.
We know it's niche. We know it's niche.
Yeah.
But does nobody want to take a chance on it?
No. To be fair, as we mentioned before, then the reason why they don't want to take a chance on it is because advertisers don't see it as a viable or as a viable place to place ads in. Mostly because, yeah, even though the WWE is as PG as you can get when it comes to pro wrestling, it's still violent, it's still problematic, and, you know, you just don't want to be attached to those things as a brand. I get it.
In the modern media age.
I guess, yeah, and I get it. That I get. Unless you're a super edgy product, like, I don't know, condoms or whatever. Right? Body, you know, men's body wash, men's care. Things like that, you know, things that are marketed to
men.
To adults, to men, to male adults.
Revicon Max.
Yeah, diba? You know what the ads are when it comes to wrestling before. When you watch it on Spike
Jack
TV.
Yeah,
Jack TV, Spike TV in the States.
Yeah.
Things like that. So I understand it, but at the same time, they do have to realize that a lot of people are fans.
Yes.
And there are more people than they realize that.
There is reach.
Yeah, there's reach even if every WrestleMania, right? Or every Royal Rumble or whatever. There is reach.
But at the end of the day, it doesn't bring as much prestige as it used to. It doesn't bring in ad money the way that it used to. And are we to blame for that? Not necessarily.
No. I just want to try.
Yeah.
Really.
All we ask is that media practitioners out there, advertising practitioners out there, if WWE ever comes knocking, maybe give it 6 months. It might be worth it.
What's the minimum contract for Anna?
I would say at
for
least a year.
Ad placement. A year, but
for a show like...
Yeah, an ad placement on TV. Which you can afford, right?
What you can afford. Like,
what's
say
the
for example,
minimum?
Like, say, for example,
to
politicians?
Be effective. Yeah, no, to be,
to
be
effective.
Come on.
No, I'm just saying, as a basis. That's what...
Why politicians?
Because they pay ridiculous
Let's
sums
just say,
money.
I know, FMCG.
FMCG, they usually say about a month for a campaign.
Okay. So
a month for a campaign, and then that's somewhere media buys are about... placement per ad is almost 1M.
All right.
Something like that. So,
All right. So, wrapping up. In TV5's case, we just hope that whatever they have planned for WWE on local TV, on free TV, I just hope it's substantial. And... Okay, fine. Dinabating tagalized, whatever. Dinabating, adjusted for
HD.
The masa. I don't give a shit. I just
give
hope
people
that,
what they want.
Yeah, they give people some shows they want. Because I know, I realistically understand that they will not be able to give everything we want. At the same time, then, I guess people should be, on their part, they should be curbing their expectations. Like
Heavily.
Guys, we're not realistically going to get all 6 hours of programming. All, you know, main show programming.
Yeah.
Seven hours, counting 205 Live.
I was going to say. Because if you expect the full 3 hours of Raw, good luck. SmackDown, baka pa.
Right.
NXT, that's a stretch already.
Yeah, we just hope that, you know, they just do it right.
Give
just
it a fair
right
shake.
By fans.
Give it a fair shake. Even if it's
Fox
set
a pretty high standard.
Yeah. Because Fox gave us what exactly did Fox give us? Like,
they gave
let's run it down. Let's run
they
it
gave
down.
Us 3 hours of Raw, 2 hours of SmackDown, NXT, and Afterburn, something
and
like that,
and the WWE archive stuff.
PPVs almost live replays as well. So that's a lot,
and that's a lot of programming when you think about the channels that they hold.
That's a lot when you think about, you know, especially when you guys complain, how come Fox didn't show this PPV, right?
Why do they only show the Raw PPVs?
Yeah.
I want to watch SmackDown.
It's like, yo,
guys,
if you have such a problem, get the damn network.
Yeah. You guys even thank Fox for giving you
money. I did.
For giving you free wrestling on cable TV.
I did, because I fucking have.
If you did, good for you. Right? So, there you go. There you have it. This week's episode of the podcast, we have independent wrestler, full-blooded Filipino in America, Kai Katana, joining
with
us later
Shamanese
on.
With a Shamanese name.
For an... Let it be.
Let it be.
Let it be. You will find out why he calls himself Kai Katana, what his gimmick is later in my exclusive interview.
Just girl.
Just me, due to technical limitations. It just had to be me. You'll find out why he had a Japanese name, despite being a full-blooded Filipino. And yeah, it's nothing you can... It's not anything you should be, you know, culturally mad about. To be the PC police about, if you will. So we'll talk about it. We'll talk to him a little later on. But first, before we get to that interview, you gotta talk about Jinder Mahal, my boy.
Jinder freaking Mahal. Don't hinder Jinder.
There is
anymore.
No hindering the Jindering. Right. So as you all know by now, because it has made a huge splash over
everywhere.
Know, everywhere.
On the interwebs.
Past few days of wrestling television.
And internet.
Jinder Mahal has won the 6-pack challenge on SmackDown to be the number one contender for the WWE Championship.
Beating out
Backlash.
Beating out. Names like...
You listen to them. Your boy.
Baron Corbin.
No, not Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin was not
in
that match.
No, he was not in that match.
Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, Mojo Rawley, Luke Harper, Eric Rowan. That's it.
What was Corbin on?
In a match against AJ Styles.
That was the main event.
Yep.
Yeah. Shit.
So yeah. Okay, I understand fully, completely. Even though Jinder is my boy, I understand completely why y'all are mad. Because, let's be fair, I will be honest, I will be completely
objective. Sami should have won.
Yes, Sami should have won, yes, but... I understand Jinder is not ready for it. It's too much too soon for him. But
he just got on the show, man.
He's got on the show, yes. He's not that great, even though I'm a fan of his work. And yeah.
And he's not roided, for those of you who are pulling that card.
Stan doesn't believe that. Stan does not believe that at all. No. That's what he says. That's what Jinder said, that he's not roided. To be fair, he has a point. If he were, he would have been failing, you know, the first performance enhancer test. Yeah.
He's had
the wellness
tests.
Policy, the wellness policy test, like, a couple of months back.
Yeah, because to re-enter, they test you.
No. After that, he started
bulking
up long after he got back.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's that. That's a story. That's an argument for another day. But for this one, yeah. Again, he's not... that great, even though I'm a fan of his work.
And he's not perfect.
But to me, though, I think it was, one, something different.
It's different.
Yes, very different. Two, swerve for the sake of being a swerve. And three, when I read the Uproxx review for this week's SmackDown, it does kind of make sense.
The way they broke it down,
the reviewer broke it down, was you knew the champion was Randy Orton. And you have these six guys... competing for a shot at that championship.
Realistically,
Randy Orton is a babyface.
Yes.
Fact number one. So whoever challenges him at Backlash cannot be a babyface. So that leaves out Luke Harper, Sami Zayn, and
Mojo
Rawley. So it's either Luke Harper. It's either Eric Rowan, Jinder Mahal, or Dolph Ziggler. Not
Fair.
Dolph Ziggler
because
he's doing Nakamura.
Yes.
Not Eric Rowan, because he's Eric Rowan. And it would be too obvious.
Yes.
And why would you have Eric Rowan when you're, you know, when you have Bray Wyatt facing Randy Orton, right? So I guess Jinder Mahal was the only logical choice for real. And
it's
number
fair.
Four,
it's fair.
Reason number four is apparently WWE wants to expand further in India.
Which explains
Jinder Mahal winning and calling up the Sierra brothers.
Not the Bollywood boys.
Not the Bollywood boys. But according to JBL, who the hell are those guys? Fuck JBL.
Fuck JBL.
By the way.
Fire JBL.
I really like the idea because it's different. I know for a fact that Jinder Mahal is not going to win. Because hey, if you think that he's going to Backlash, winning... the championship automatically from Randy frickin' Orton.
His first try.
You are a bigger mark than I thought you were.
It's his first try. It's his first push.
Yeah.
Since when was his last serious push? Like, outside of 3MB.
Right.
Diba? Oh, no, no, no. The 3MB. The 3MB, Great Britain.
No, no. The 3MB thing was the last segment of his previous WWE run.
Yes. This is, it's just, it's hard to wrap your head around it. But when you do think about it, like through and through, in your heart of hearts, you have to say, the guy deserves at least one shot in his lifetime, mm-hmm. right?
Well, he had a lot of shots. He had a push at the moment, you know, when he was, you know, a single star before the 3MB days. Remember when he was on NXT, he was challenging for the freaking NXT championship
yes.
against Seth Rollins, right?
Which, but that's still NXT. That's still
yeah, the still. The point was, they've been pushing him ever since. So clearly, they see something in him, whether it's the Indian blood and the Indian features, the Indian ethnicity.
Yes.
Because, you know, this might be the key to India, right? Damn it! So, there's that. But I'd like to think that he is improving, even if it's incremental. He has been trying to, you know, support his style by focusing solely on his strengths, which is mostly the striking, notably the one, the kind of striking that concusses Finn Balor.
Fucking Finn Balor.
Yeah, but he does that better than anything else there, right?
Yeah.
He does that even better than submission maneuvers, yes. right?
Which is so, what I was going to say. In the part of his mat wrestling takes a sidestep when he does his striking even
yeah,
better.
Yeah, I'd like to say that he's a really, really poor man, Shibata.
You know, come to think about it, that is not an unfair comparison.
It is not an unfair comparison. He is a Slumdog Shibata.
Wow.
Yes, the Slumdog Shibata.
Wow, that is so racist.
Yeah.
But it's
not racist. I'm referencing a movie.
Stereotypical.
I am referencing an Oscar-nominated movie.
Oscar-winning.
Winning. Yes, Oscar-winning movie. Absolutely.
It won stuff.
The reason why he hasn't improved that much is because how can you expect a wrestler to improve that much when you stick him in...
When you hinder him.
Yeah, when you hinder him, you stick him in scenarios and environments, in storylines where he doesn't really have time to, you know, take it all in.
Not just to take it all in, but to be taken seriously by
yeah,
the audience.
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Because we haven't seen this type of serious Jinder Mahal in a long time.
True.
And some people are not as quick to forget that he was part of, well, my favorite job squad for a while. So, you think about it, Jinder Mahal, his new rise to prominence, to the main event,
yeah.
it's not something that's so out of left field, but at the same time, it's not what we expect.
No, to be fair, okay, to be absolutely fair to everyone who doesn't like this, yeah, I get it. It's not time yet, but
when will it ever be?
No, come on.
Okay.
It will be closer to time when he does actually get better, but this signifies an opportunity to learn from the best, to have that, you know, to have enough ring time to absorb anything, you know, to absorb a lot of things. It could very well be that he will fail, especially when you're thrust into that position way too soon. And I know personally, what that does to a wrestler.
You've seen it so many times
yeah.
in PWR.
True. And it's possible that he will bomb the match with Randy Orton at Backlash. It's possible. It's highly possible.
There's likelihood.
Oh, there's huge likelihood.
But
at that, I don't know, I just hope that it lights an even bigger fire under his ass to get even better. Right?
Because opportunities like this don't come every dynasty.
Wow. Wow. So
I want that. Are
you saying that Jinder Mahal is a flower that blooms in adversity?
Yes, I hope so.
Wow.
The thing here is that you thrust the guy in this situation. We've seen it so many times that they don't do well enough and then they wither.
Yeah.
You know, it's the aftermath that matters here.
I think the man kasi Jinder has some good basics. He's not technically sound at all. I wouldn't say that. He's just really fundamentally sound.
Fundamentally.
I'd like to think that, you know, he's more watchable now than he was before 3MB.
Yes.
I just think that he needs a character that he can get behind himself.
That he can own.
he can own, because all of these, you know, all of these
stereotypical
evil foreigner heel gimmicks, it doesn't seem to be working for him just because that's not him, I guess. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he's a nice guy, whatever. He seemed to have way more fun being a 3MB.
Yeah.
I think you just have to give him something he can run with, right? Maybe you just be a heel, but you don't
but
have to
it doesn't
be
have to be the evil foreigner heel.
The evil rich foreigner, you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that...
Evil rich foreigner.
Jinder Mahal is 30 years old. I just fact-checked this.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's a lot of time for him to improve. This may be the beginning of you know, a period where he finally starts putting it all together. So I hope so. I hope that happens for him.
Because, and it's very optimistic of us, but what I have to say is that the match itself, the championship match itself, isn't going to matter. We said foregone conclusion.
Yep.
The aftermath is what excites me.
Sure.
Because where he slots himself in relation to the new SmackDown 6 is something that intrigues me as, you know, as a wrestling observer and a critic. Because the SmackDown 6 that we have now are all guys that, you know, guys on the street or your average wrestling fan can get behind or can enjoy. Jinder Mahal is this nice big question mark. Now, does he play the mid card? Does he play the occasion that guy who occasionally makes it to the main event?
Okay.
Down the line.
Well, apparently, yes. But I do like the fact that in doing so, they really established SmackDown's reputation as the land of opportunity, or as Ricky J calls it, ang lupain na pagkakataon. So yeah, whether or not you like it, it really is a land of opportunity, right? And what's, you know, what can be better than knowing that if you watch SmackDown, literally anything can happen
on any given night. That your wildest dreams can come true.
Actually, you know, it's weird to me that a lot more people aren't picking up on this, especially Americans, because, you know, they love football, and in football we have this
rule. Any given Sunday,
any team can win. As long as, you know, things are right. The wind is blowing the right way. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, yeah, that's it for Jinder Mahal. If you have any violent reactions, which I know you do, please hit us up.
Angry reacts.
Not only.
Sometimes.
Sometimes then.
Hit us up on the podcast, on social media.
At the SGP Podcast. You can hit me up and disagree with me vehemently. At Rose War, at K-Man Canvas. And even though he's not saying anything,
he's still
at _Stancy.
Still very active on his Twitter.
You want to talk about Braun breaking the ring?
Yeah, sure. I mean,
It's nice.
Okay. We've gotten this spot several times.
No, not several times. The last time we got it was, you know, with Mark
Henry. No, I was going to say, it is
2013
not...
2013
pa yun.
Yes.
Shit, it's been 4 years.
Yes.
Wow.
We kind of got it when WWE was in Manila.
That's why. I was going to say, well, and they always involve the Big Show.
Yeah, because,
they always involve the Big Show because he's the big guy.
Yeah, they haven't figured it out. You know, they haven't figured out how to do it when they had Andre.
Oh, yeah, that would have been cool. But you see, the monster versus monster match. Okay, I can get behind this. I will start to care about
it. Get
this.
Behind it. It's happened before.
Okay, fine. But breaking the ring to do so, to generate interest and virality behind the moment, is not out of this world.
Yeah, it's not. No, but only because we have seen it before. We are smarks who are what? Almost 30 years old. Not almost, but
getting there. 5-6 years away.
This has happened in our lifetime twice.
Twice.
Okay. Not counting this one.
Okay.
So we had, you know, Big Show and Mark Henry, Big Show and Brock. We've seen this before. That's why it's not out of this world to us. It's not mind blowing to us. But
it's
for
a
the
repetition.
Kids,
it's a repetition.
In the audience who are seeing this for the first time, it is fucking awesome.
Oh,
you know?
Fuck, hell yeah.
Yeah, because they never realized that, oh, you can do this. These two guys are heavy enough to do this. And
the mass of humanity.
I believe that it's one of the few spots that WWE has protected so well.
Yes.
To the
Just
point
because
that,
it is difficult to pull off. I will say this.
It's not difficult to pull off.
No, from a production standpoint.
It is not.
For a whole night? For a whole night.
No, come on. You need guys that heavy to pull it off. So anyone else, it's fine. It is not that hard to pull off. And it's actually because of that, that it's a good thing they don't pull it off as often.
Apparently, it's not something they go to the well to.
That's good. It's actually pretty good. I'm impressed that they have kept this in the well for so long.
And at the end of the day, it's a special moment. It's a special moment that we see...
It puts Braun over.
It puts Braun over, and it puts Braun over in a way that, you know, an ambulance cannot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a show of force on his end that is 2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row that he's had spot of the night.
Sure.
Superhuman feats of strength that are making him look like not just the next big man to be thrust into the spotlight, but a legitimate big man on the likes that Mark Henry and Big Show are. Putting them in their league is something that WWE has gotten over in the past 2 weeks and has done so with great, great effect.
Right. There you go. It's not as hilarious as, you know, the beatdown of Roman Reigns.
Speaking as much of, as we enjoyed that.
Condolences to the Reigns family. The Reigns family. The Anoa'i family.
And Rosie, rest in power.
Rest in power, Rosie.
Superheroes in training.
I love watching Rosie, by the way.
Superheroes in training was my favorite.
Rosie's whole run, more than Rikishi or anything.
Or any of the other
Anoa'is? No. Before Umaga, right?
Okay.
Before Roman Reigns, even. So, you know, that Rosie's run as a superhero in training was my first exposure to the fact that you can be a big dude, like the big in the way Rosie was, and still be agile and mobile and hilarious and entertaining to watch in the ring. Rosie was really good.
You forget it.
Yeah.
You forget that.
No, you don't forget. That's the problem. That's why a lot of people who grew up in that era are Rosie fans.
Yeah. No. What I meant to say was some people forget that this template of the big athletic guy who is fluffy. Kevin Owens wasn't the first guy.
Obviously not.
Kevin Owens was not the first guy.
What, 10 years younger then.
But Kevin Owens idealized this for us now in the main event scene.
Sure, okay, fine.
But Rosie
was good.
Was so great. Good at doing Rosie. At doing this job, at being that guy who didn't necessarily have to power out every single time, but...
No, dude, I fucking marked out when he finally graduated. Diba?
Yeah.
That
was after...
Hurricane turned and became Gregory Helms.
Oh, and then was Keebler still with them?
No, at that point, no. He was just... He was now no longer in training. He had that...
He was a superhero.
I wish they made more of that. They made more out of that.
Yeah. Because they really could have run with that for a little longer.
Rosie was good enough. Before they even had Umaga, Rosie was kicking ass, right?
And it's sad.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Rosie.
47 years old, though.
Come on, look at him. I think it was... not the same thing that killed Umaga.
No.
Rest in peace. Condolences to the Anoa'i family for the loss. And
if this keeps... Roman was written off air.
I'm sure it was just a coincidence, right? Anyway, moving on. Let's
get to that interview.
All right, let's get to the interview.
Don't forget about the interview.
Oh, I was going to ask you if you had anything else to say about anything, you know, WWE related this week.
Well, I have something New Japan related, which is sad.
Sign in.
Okay.
Let's talk about Shibata some other time.
Okay.
Anyway, yes, our interview segment, our special guest, Kai Katana. Did you know that we could have had two Filipinos repping us in last year's WWE Cruiserweight Classic?
I did not.
Yes, now you do, because Kai Katana was an alternate reserve for anyone who might have had to drop out from the Cruiserweight Classic for any reason at all, whether it was, you know, not making weight, injury, other shit.
Like, is this like Aaron Solo?
Yeah, so for you guys, for you guys listening to the podcast, looking for another Filipino to be proud of in the international scene, Kai Katana is a full-blooded Filipino who lives and wrestles in the U.S. He has wrestled such luminaries as Ty Dillinger. Yes, Shane Strickland, also known as Killshot.
Oh my gosh.
Bull Dempsey.
As Bull Dempsey or as...
As Bull James.
Bull James,
okay. As Bull James.
He's still cool.
Who else? Can you run through the... No, that's fine. That's a good list enough. That's a good enough list. So
those are names you know.
We're gonna be talking about how he started, what's his character all about, and you know how he found the Philippines and its wrestling scene, and all of that. Unfortunately, he will not be competing anytime soon for Philippine Wrestling Revolution, although he really, really wanted to.
Why?
Because he's leaving soon.
Man, that sucks.
All right, so without...
But he's got to go home.
Yeah, without any further ado, let's go on to our interview with my exclusive interview to Kai Katana. Here it is. All right, guys. Yo, what up? This is Ro, and we have our very special guest on this week's episode of the podcast. Tonight, we have Kai Katana. Everyone, Kai, please say hello.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
Hey, Kai, how are you? You're right. You're currently in the Philippines at the moment. And for those of you who don't, for the listeners who don't know, Kai is a full-blooded Filipino wrestler in America. Is that right?
That's right. Full-blooded. My mom is from Pateros, outside of Manila.
Yep.
My dad's from Iloilo. So I always get a lot. I don't look Filipino a lot. A lot of people always question me. Even Filipinos themselves always question if I'm Filipino. And I always have to tell them my story. But yes, I'm very full-blooded. I was born in New York. My parents came to the States around the 80s. They met and had me. I went to the Philippines usually every 3 or 4 years growing up. This is my first time actually back in 14 years. Last time I was here, I was 16.
They met they met each other there in the States or here.
Yeah, they met each other in the States. They met each other in the States. So the last time I was here was 14 years ago. I was 16. It was my first time back in 14 years.
All right. Let's get to the meaty stuff that people want to hear about. So you're starting wrestling. How did you get started and where did you get started? Where did you train and why did you decide to become a wrestler?
I was always a fan as a kid. I think like with everyone that gets involved in pro wrestling, you're always a fan in some way. I started watching wrestling, I believe at five or six. My cousin was actually a huge wrestling fan.
Right.
And he used to babysit me when I was a kid. So that's how I used to watch it. Every time he used to babysit me, there was always wrestling on the TV. And that carried on over to my house. So eventually I was watching wrestling by myself. And then I remember I was 8 years old. They were in my elementary school. They had flyers for amateur wrestling. I had a flyer. I gave it to my parents and I told them, hey, I want to wrestle. I was thinking at the time the amateur wrestling was the wrestling I saw on TV. So I remember just the week leading up into my first practice, I had my mats on the floor. I had my pillows. I was jumping off the shelves of my room. Pretending to be a wrestler. And then when I first went to my first wrestling practice, I realized that wasn't the wrestling I saw on TV. It was just a wrestling mat. And it was one of those things where I didn't really want to do it first because it wasn't the pro wrestling I saw on TV. You know, I thought it was going to be like steel chairs and a big ring and a big titantron and everything, but it wasn't that at all. So my dad actually told me to stick it out, and I stuck it out. I was actually a natural at amateur wrestling. I wrestled from 8 years old all the way to high school. I did a year in college. On top of that, I did MMA and jiu-jitsu. So pretty much wrestling kind of just really altered the way I saw life on how to be and just how to wrestle. So I saw my first real pro wrestling training experience at 2011, after I graduated college. One of my buddies, he trained at a school nearby where I lived. And when I met him, I told him I wanted to train after I graduated. So after I graduated, I hit him up and I went to my first school. My trainer is Ricky Reyes, the Cuban
Ricky
cripple,
Reyes.
Ricky Reyes. Yeah, he was an ROH guy growing up. He was in part of the tag teams with Rocky Romero.
Yep.
The Havana Pitbulls.
People know him better now. Cortez Castro.
Yeah, it's Lucha Underground. So he was my trainer. He was my mentor. Literally, I learned everything from him. He's a human encyclopedia. And he really kind of taught me the ropes and kind of taught me literally how to be an independent wrestler. And I'm very grateful and very thankful for what he's taught me. And he's still active today, and we still keep in touch. And he's one of the guys I will always look up to. So,
can you talk about your character right now? You're Kai Katana. And I saw a video of you against Shane Strickland, Pro Wrestling Empire. And to me, it seems like, cool, badass Asian character.
Can you talk to right. him, can you talk about the character more and what it's like, what it's supposed to be, what your inspiration was?
Yeah, so when I first started out, honestly, I had no idea what I wanted to be. It's so different in America as an Asian wrestler because you don't want to be stereotyped, but at the same time, you want it to be memorable.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, at first, I honestly wanted to be an Asian math nerd.
Asian math like, nerd.
Yeah, no, Asian math nerd.
Oh, which, okay, which, okay. Math
yeah,
nerd,
Asian
okay.
Math nerd, yes. Because at this time, when I first started training too, I didn't think it was going to be as big or as big as now as I thought it was going to be. I honestly thought I was going to be a weekend warrior, just wrestle for the fun of it, just say I did as a bucket list.
Right.
And then Ricky chimed in, and Ricky was like, I never really put my hands on or kind of just had an input on people's characters because you're your own character. This is your own stuff. But I think that's fucking stupid. You know, sorry for my language, but that's what he said.
It's all good.
I think that's really stupid, you know? And he's like, what my idea for you, what I really would like you to do is, check out the Great Muta. He's a character that I've watched a lot and I think you have a lot of similarities with him. I think it's something you should emulate. When you first start out, just so you get the gears going, get the wheels going, and so that's how it started. So I watched the Great Muta, verbatim for my first 2-3 years. I was watching the Great Muta, watching how he worked, watching how he moved, and all that stuff. That's how it started out. It was literally just Great Muta, and then eventually, when I got more comfortable in my own skin, my own character, I started just letting loose a little bit. So Kagetana, he's a spiritual warrior. He's one with the universe, one with humanity. He's evolving. He evolves every year. There's always something new, and that's something that I've been very, very proud of. It's literally my brainchild of how I started and how it's evolving today. And I'm really happy that the WWE allowed me to use Kagetana as myself, as however I want to do it. So after the Cruiserweight Classic, because as being an alternate, they didn't let me go home empty handed. They asked me if I wanted to stay the next night for NXT, and obviously I said yes. So NXT, I had a match with Ty Dillinger in a dark match. So leading up to the dark match, I asked around. I asked if I could be Kai Katana, be whatever I wanted to be. And Matt Bloom was currently coach there. He said, "Yeah." He's like, "Whatever you want to do." He's like, "Whatever you want to show Triple H is your night to shine." I was like, "Awesome." So like, just to go out as Kai Katana, literally my brainchild, when I was like drawing, on scraps of piece of paper in my room, come to life and come into front of the WWE universe and WWE eyes. I think it's a really cool, really cool accomplishment. I don't think a lot of people could say that.
All right, so one of the biggest stories coming out of your career at the moment is that you're around like 5 years into your career, but you've been selected as a reserve for the WWE Cruiserweight Classic last year. So can you talk to us about that? How did that go down?
Yeah, definitely. So I got my first tryout with the WWE in 2014. So I was only in the business for about 2 years. Still very green, still very new. I just happened to get in front of the right eyes. The way it happened was in 2013, I believe, or was it 2012, I think. The former COO of the company, the WWE, was an alumni at my college. And she was there at events for the broadcasting program. I got my degree in broadcasting television. So it fell in my lap. I was going through my mail one day, and a brochure from Oswego, where I went to school, had an event. It was called the Oswego Media Summit. And there it had a lot of top people in the industry today that were alumni from the school. One of the other persons there was Steve Levy from ESPN and some other people. So I saw she was going to be there. I literally took off work that day. Mind you, I just got the job maybe a couple weeks ago. So taking off of work, right away was really unheard of. But I knew this was it. There's no other way around it. So kind of took off work. I drove 8 hours to go back to my school with my resume in hand. And literally I got in her face and I said, "Hey, I'm trying to be in WWE. Do you have any advice or any ideas?" And she was like, oh, that's awesome. You know, have they contacted you yet? And I was like, no, they haven't yet. I was like, I don't know what else to do. I really just want to just get seen. And she goes, well, you know, it makes no sense why they haven't, you know, contacted you yet. Let's see what I could do. So long story short, she sent an email. And literally the person I was trying to contact in WWE for over a year got back to me literally the next day. From then, we got set up with a tryout. I had a tryout in March 2014. It was actually the same tryout where Kevin Owens was at. So,
nice.
Me and Kevin Owens, Roderick Strong was there too. A lot of the guys, some big names were there during the tryout. So it was really cool, man. Honestly, like a kid that's 2 years in the business is going in this tryout where people, you know, in the business have been wrestling for double, quadruple years I have, and they're just getting the tryout. So it was really, really awe-inspiring. So like I said, I had the tryout. I didn't get picked up, but they said that they liked me. Pretty much they said get more experience on my own, and they'll keep in touch. So after the tryout, you know, I just wanted to literally took their advice to get experience on my own, get some more experience. I traveled to Europe. I went to Europe, made my own tour in 2015. I traveled seven countries in 6 weeks and literally just traveled. Every country that I was at, I either found a place to train at or I found a show to work on just to get more experience. So when I came back from my tour, I sent to WWE my information, what I've been up to for the past, you know, summer. And I really caught their eye and they really took that into consideration. That's when I got a call for the WWE to be in the Cruiserweight Classic. So Cruiserweight Classic, I didn't know I was going to be alternate there. It was kind of up in the air. I found out when I got that I was going to be an alternate, which at the time was something that I wasn't too sure about because I thought I was going to be on the show, but literally just being down there and being in front of the right eyes, being in the environment, was an accomplishment in itself. So, yeah, obviously it's the Cruiserweight Classic, being there to like, just watch and blossom what's become today. I'm very proud to say that I was part of the first ever Cruiserweight Classic. And very proud to say that I've been in that environment, and very proud to say that, you know, things are happening. You know.
That's great. Did they ever get back to you and say, "Oh, you know, come back and contact us. We might have something for you in the future"?
Yeah, it's the same thing as with any other business or any other company. You know, whenever you leave, you always want to leave on a positive note. You always want to leave with something to look forward to. So when I left, I always, you know, gave them my gratefulness, my graciousness, and they said, yeah, keep in touch, be patient, keep grinding out on the indies, and then we'll be in touch, pretty much. That was about it.
Right. Yeah, coming in front of an NXT crowd, wrestling Ty Dillinger in a dark match. Did they get anything from you out of that?
Getting as what do you mean?
Phrasing of the question. What did they observe about you, or did you get any feedback from them about where you are?
Yeah. I think they kind of they noticed. They I definitely made a statement. I definitely made them remember. After my match, actually, there's always a meeting with NXT. With Triple H and the whole crew. They always have a post-show meeting. I wasn't involved in the meeting because I wasn't full-time with them, so I had to step out. But after the meeting was over, I got to go back in and make sure I say my goodbyes, saw all the right people before I left. And I saw Triple H, and I went up to Triple H, and I asked him what he thought. And he said it was good. You know, and in my eyes, that's all I really needed. Triple H, you know, saw my match. He saw who I was, knew who I was, and said it was good. And I think that was really enough. And I think that in my head, That just more motivation to get there full time.
Dude, that is awesome. Meeting Triple H and all that.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I have a question though. Do you ever think about repping the Philippines as your gimmick or as a character the same way like TJ Perkins does?
Yes and no. I think TJ Perkins has that covered as the Phil Am. He's the Phil Am superstar. It's the Phil Am Flash, right?
Yep.
He's a great guy. Actually, a little tidbit, Ricky trained TJ Perkins as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, so it's a cool, when I first met TJ, that was the first commonality we had other than being Filipino. I told him that, you know, Ricky trained me and we had that commonality right there. But yes, I'd love to represent Philippines, but in my own unique way.
Right.
I wouldn't want to emulate the way that TJ does, because he already has that. That's his, you know. But whatever the WWE wants, whatever WWE needs, I'm more than willing to do anything to portray the Philippines, or just Kai Katana as himself, or as a different character, you know. The WWE is a big universe, and whatever they need, I'm there for.
All right. Well, we met each other a couple of weeks ago. You were talking to us about how you just dropped everything and decided to travel Europe and backpack and be a wrestler over there while you're touring. So was that the moment where you decided to stop? Maybe it's time to start being more than just a weekend warrior and finally do this for real.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
All right. When I met you a couple of weeks ago, you were telling us, as you know, PWR boot camp class, you went to Europe, you quit your job, went to Europe, you toured as a wrestler there. Was that the moment where you started to think that I should be more than a weekend warrior and finally do this for real, for real?
Oh yes, yeah, definitely. The thing was, it's like, everyone always says independent wrestling, everyone always says in wrestling, you have to be all in, you know? And it was one of those things where I had a very high caliber job in the IT communications industry. And it was great. It was a great, great paying job, literally the perks of everything, but it got me too comfortable in my life, where it was kind of like, oh, if like the wrestling doesn't happen, it's okay because I have this job. You know, and then that's the attitude where I caught myself saying that. I was like, I don't want it. I don't want that to be that way. I'm really a big believer in the universe. So it's whatever like you want to do, you know, the universe has your back. So I made the decision just, you know, a lot of things happen to and within family, stuff like that. But that was literally the moment when I dropped it. I bought my ticket to London, and that was it. And I just went. So when I came back from Europe, I didn't have a job. I was working odd jobs, just to make ends meet while I was still wrestling, but it was literally the best decision I made, because it really put the attention of myself like this. It's literally all or nothing. So, it's been working great so far. So I've been happy, wrestling, and I've been happy doing that thing, doing my thing. And honestly, if I didn't leave my job to tour Europe and do that stuff, I wouldn't be in the position I am today with the WWE.
How advisable is that for young wrestlers, say here? Like, what if I thought that, I want to start being more than a weekend warrior. I want to start gaining experience wherever I go. What should I be thinking about? What should I be considering? What kind of criteria should I be considering? Should I consider how good I am, where my skills are, what kind of environment and scene is present that I can access? How does one come to that decision?
That's a lot. It's honestly, you have to be honest with yourself and realistic with yourself where you are now. Honestly, like, a lot of people love to just drop it and go. But you have to build equity in the independent wrestling scene to be able to do that. I think, and also have to look at stuff in your life too. Like, you know, I'm fortunate enough where I don't have a family, I don't have a wife, I don't have kids. You know, I don't have those extra responsibilities that where money has to be, you know, put towards that attention of that part of your life. I'm still by myself. I only have to literally worry about myself, and that was another criteria I told myself when I had my job. I was like, you know, I don't have anything to put money towards besides myself and my dreams. So that you have to look at too, you know, and also how much debt are you in? Do you have bills to pay? Do you have a 3-month cushion for yourself? Can you support yourself for 3 months without pay? You know, a lot goes in effect. It's not just literally just drop it and go, because you do have to look at other stuff and be realistic with other things too. So I would say for young guys is if you have enough money to save yourself, if you have enough money to carry yourself for 3 months, and you feel that your skills are good enough, and I would say just go, you know. Work will find itself. You know, once you get going, things will happen. A lot of things I always believe in too is you don't always have to look at your circumstances. You know, people always look at their circumstances and make decisions off their circumstances, when in reality, your circumstances are taking a cue from you. So if you have, you know, like I said, if you have the right amount of money saved up, and you have, you know, the right minds and you have the right skills and you're comfortable to go, then I suggest you go.
All right. Let's change topics real quick. I mentioned earlier a while back that you trained with PWR Bootcamp a couple weeks ago. For PWR fans listening to this right now, sorry, he's not. Kai Katana is not going to show up at Revolution X because he has to leave by Sunday at the time of recording.
Yeah, I wish.
Yep.
Yeah.
How did you find out about PWR when you were coming here, when you were on your way here?
Honestly, I did a Facebook search. I wanted to just see if there was a company in the Philippines. And PWR came up. I hit up, I believe, the PWR Facebook group. And I responded back. And then Jake DeLeon contacted me. And at first, I wanted to see if we could schedule maybe a show coming up when I was coming. But obviously, with Holy Week here, yep. You guys had to push the date back. But I always want to come down and just train. So that's how it all started. Literally Facebook was how I found you guys. I'm glad I did.
Did you know at all? So you had no idea at all. You just decided to search on Facebook. Maybe there's probably a wrestling scene here, but before that you had no idea, not even the slightest idea.
I had no idea, yeah.
And in your assessment, in your one day training with the PWR guys, what did you think of them?
Oh, I thought it was awesome. I thought, honestly, it was more, honestly, there was more people than I expected, and I loved that. I thought it was so cool. Like, when I first heard about it, I thought, oh, if we go there, it's going to be a good handful of people. But when I went there, it was an overwhelming amount of people there, and I thought that was really, really cool. Really, really cool. I think it's great you guys are training. I think you guys learning how to bump around. I literally see the passion in everyone and how everyone just wants to get better and everyone wants to perform. So, you know, kudos to you guys. You guys are going to be great.
Thank you, man. All right, what's next for Kai Katana? After this, after your visit here in the Philippines, when you get back to the States?
So when I get back from the States, I'm home for a day, then I drive up to Maine. I'm debuting for a new company called Limitless Wrestling in Maine. And then that next day, I'm back in New York for my home promotion in Victory Pro Wrestling. After that, I have another show in Massachusetts called NECW Iron Age Tournament. And literally just doing the indies every weekend, pretty much booked up pretty steadily until June. So just doing that, keep in touch with the WWE, just crossing my fingers, waiting for the number to call me. And just enjoying my time. Other than that, just enjoying my time with family, enjoying my time with my friends, traveling some more. I'm actually doing a cross-country trip in August for two weeks, going from New York to California and back by train. And on the way there, I'm going to do some stops similar to what I did here in the Philippines, stop at schools, do some training, maybe a seminar and stuff like that, and just enjoy the scenery, enjoy the downtime.
All right. Kai Katana, before I let you go, man, can you have any piece of advice for all the young wrestlers here in the Philippines, whether they're PWR or another company? What do you have to say to them in order for them to better follow their dreams?
First of all, we're Filipino. We're entertainers by heart. We're just born to entertain. I've never seen any other Filipino that doesn't want to pick up a video game and sing karaoke. It's literally, honestly, we do line dancing all the time. It's like, we're just entertainers. And I think a lot of Filipinos here should take that really into effect. Like, it's natural for us. So, loosen up and don't be so timid or anything. and just train hard. Just focus on yourself. And don't focus on what other people are doing or what other people are, don't focus on other people. Focus on yourself. Get in the gym, work out, work on your promo skills, keep training, and then just get your name out there. Literally, like I said when I met you guys, the WWE literally flew across the world to see what's going on here. So they're not going to waste their time for no reason. They went there for a reason. So show them why they flew out there. And everything, like get the community involved, get the company growing. And that's about it, man. Just enjoy and make it a show. Make the Filipinos come out and watch it every time. It's a show. At the end of the day, it's entertainment. It's a show. Give them a show,
All right. Kai Katana, where can they find you on the internet?
You find me on Facebook, facebook.com/AAKaiKatana. You can find me on Twitter at _KaiKatana and on Instagram at KaiKatana.
Where can they... Sorry. Keep going. My bad.
Good.
Okay, all right. No. I was just going to ask where they can find your wrestling on the internet. Where can they find you? Where can they follow your action, your matches?
Yeah, on YouTube, my YouTube is KaiKatana. But my main source of my social media stuff is on Facebook. So if you check out my Facebook, AAKaiKatana, you can check it out. Man, this was awesome.
Thank you very much, man. Thank you so much for making time for us. I wish you the best of luck in your career moving forward. Right, yeah.
Yeah, dude. I'm not even worried. I'm pretty sure we're going to cross paths again soon. With the Philippines Wrestling Revolution and with the WWE. So I'm looking forward to see what happens in the future.
It was very nice to meet you, man. Thank you.
You too, man.
All right. Thank you, KaiKatana, for that wonderful interview. I'm sorry we didn't have a lot of time for more.
He's a busy man.
Yeah, he's a busy man. He's in the Philippines vacationing with his family. So, yeah, we also wish he could have been here, but, you know, thanks to time constraints, we could not have had him on with us recording
physically.
Yes,
but thanks to the power of the internet.
Thank you, internet, and thank you, Mark Zuckerberg,
for Facebook Messenger.
KaiKatana told me he forgot to mention that he wants a WrestleMania moment. Get this, he wants to come down to the ring in a Jeep and tricycles, a whole fleet of Jeeps and tricycles coming down to the ring, transporting him Eddie Guerrero style. So I want to see that.
I want to see that.
I want to see that, even though Jeeps are highly dangerous.
Well, not the ones that they make in... Well, this would depend on where they would be doing it.
How did they get a Jeep to New York, by the way?
They had one constructed there.
There?
Yep.
That's good. Should have been better.
They had it commissioned.
So I want to see that, so for real. Thank you again, KaiKatana. Let's hope that he comes back and, you know, comes back in time to make it on a PWR show. And show us all what he can do, because I've seen what he can do. It's downright amazing. There's a reason why he was chosen as a reserve for the Cruiserweight Classic.
Maybe for Renaissance. You never know.
Someday. Sign of this year. Better.
You never know.
Willing to wait. So,
it's
all right.
Just like the Chicken Joy of wrestling.
Picks of the week time.
I'll go first. AJ versus Baron Corbin. All right. Sweet Jesus. How many big spots did this match have? My God. I for one enjoy this matchup just because the sheer speed of AJ contrasts so well against the power of Baron Corbin.
All right.
It's one of the SmackDown 6 matchups that I really am getting behind.
Does this make AJ a babyface now?
I believe so.
It doesn't. It's weird in it.
It's weirder.
He shook Shane's hand.
Yes. It's like, I want to be the guy for SmackDown.
And you match up against Baron Corbin, who's a full-fledged heel, right?
Yeah.
So what does that mean?
I don't know. All I want is him to stay away from Nakamura for as long as possible.
That's true. I think that is the plan.
That is the plan, Kuno.
I believe. That is the plan.
And I do believe that as long as we don't see the two of them together, like one-on-one,
yeah,
even if they interact minimally, okay, as long as it happens at WrestleMania, I'm good.
All right.
What's your pick,
my pick
Mr.
of the week
Rowe?
Is the 205 Live main event this week. It's TJ Perkins versus Austin Aries.
Great spots in this match.
Yeah. Unfortunately, our boy TJ lost despite his heel turn, but it wasn't a wasted loss because he got to look really good against Aries. It wasn't a loss that, you know, oh.
It's not a damaging loss.
Yeah, it's not a damaging loss. He took it to the limit. It just so happened that Aries won by being the veteran wrestler over there.
Yeah.
And I love Aries. Aries' discus 5-arm.
Yes. It is a thing of beauty. It is so smooth
as fuck. So,
like
yeah,
peanut butter jelly.
Yeah. So that's it. Please do go and watch that. And that is it. Stan, you want to say pick of the week? Nah? All right. He's still here, by the way. So
in
that's it for this week's edition of the SGP podcast.
Next week,
that was fun.
Yes.
By the way,
next week we should have Stan back fully rested from his voice rest. Yes.
Will that be so? Nod your head, yes or no. He doesn't know yet.
More or less, maybe. We'll see.
Okay, we can't make fun of him yet.
Right,
so...
It's all good, baby! All
right, so any of you guys want to hit us up on social media and talk to us about anything, at all, please do hit us up at the SGP Podcast on Twitter, at Caveman Camus for Camus, at underscore Stan C for Stan, and for me at Rose Waugh. So we got to thank everyone, our friends at SGP, you know, our homeboys at Smart Henry. Got no one to thank Fox anymore.
No.
That's it. That's pretty much it.
But thank you for doing the good
thank
job.
Thank you for Kai Katana for. Thank you to Kai Katana for making the time to, you know, have an interview with us.
It's always nice to hear from fellow friends.
Yes, it's always nice to hear from fellow Filipinos.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, wrestlers who are living the dream as well.
Godspeed to you, Mr. Yes. Katana.
That is it for this week's episode of the SGP Podcast. We are out of here. Peace.
Goodbye and good night. Glorious. No, I won't give in. Till I'm victorious, and I will defend, I will defend.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.